Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettillo, along with Charlie Long in studio. At 5:45, we'll have Steve Geller join us for our triple option feature. Tell everybody it's Tulane Tuesday, so we'll have the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Summerall, will be on with us at 4:20. And at 5:20, one of our top guests, NFL Odyssey insider Mark Schlereff, will break down the NFL and the Saints for us. And in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll have on Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. And, Charlie, a lot of news from LSU. None of it was good today. Yeah, I'll be honest. No shock to me with Will Campbell. You know, Will got a first-round pick grade from the NFL Advisory Board. I think all of us thought, you know, he was going to come out. It's been a tremendous pass protector at LSU. It jumps out at you. Not everything's perfect with him, and he gave up the sack. But Nussmeier, I thought he was really seriously injured there. But, man, he's been a pillar there on that left side and done an outstanding job as a pass protector. Again, I think part of this is scheme as a run blocker. I think he'll be really good at that in the NFL level. And as I told you, and they haven't had a first-round pick offensive lineman since Alan Faneca back in 1998. I heard the same people say then, oh, he ain't good enough to be a first-round pick. No, he's good enough to be in Pro Football's Hall of Fame, Alan Faneca. So you had the same critics that, oh, Alan's not that good, this and that, that they do with Campbell. I'm just telling you, Will Campbell can play at the next level and be a starter there and a real good one. Now comes the other part. Does Emory Jones follow suit with him and go to the NFL? I think they have gotten in his ear about maybe trying to return for another season at LSU.
We'll talk with Zach about that in the 6 o'clock hour. Mike, I'd be interested to see, because if Emory came out today, and I've heard a lot of scouts say this as well, say that they kind of view him more as a guard at the NFL level than they do a tackle, just because of his physicality, and he kind of fits that position a little bit better. But where would you, like, I know Will Campbell, you said top 20, I think borderline.
And he could be
top
higher.
10. Because if you're looking at the top of the draft, you see a lot of teams that need offensive linemen and need offensive line help. And if you're looking at the best offensive linemen in this draft, it's Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks from Texas. Those are the guys. So Campbell could go even a little bit higher than that. He's a bona fide first-round pick. I agree with you 100%. My question for you is, if Emory Jones were to come out, what type of grade would he have for you?
He wouldn't get a first-round pick grade with me.
Which is a little bit unfortunate.
Because to be honest with you, the way I have a board set up, I'll probably have, right now, most likely 22 to 23 first-round picks, and he's not in it.
It's not the strongest first round.
So could he go in round one? Yes, but he would probably get more of a second-round grade pick me, and I agree. I think he's best suited on the right side. I would give him a shot at right tackle and say, okay, if you can't play there, we'll put you inside at guard. He's a power player. I'll put him on the right side.
He's got these brick hands, Mikey, and when he throws his hands, he just pops you right in the
and
chest.
And that lower body, man, he can move some people around. Again, I think when you're going to watch these guys at the pro level, you're going to say, oh, how come they couldn't do that at LSU? Scheme.
How come
just
they couldn't
run
the ball?
Right. There is some scheme in that. How did Miles Frazer, and we talked to Jim Nagy last week about it, and Jim told me off the air, Miles Frazer got an invite to the Senior Bowl, and he's coming.
Yep.
Okay. So you got three guys now that are going to go in the draft if they come out. We know Will will. We know Miles Frazer will. Uncertain about Emory Jones. You got three guys that could potentially go in the draft and fairly early, and you couldn't run the ball worth a lick
crazy
this year.
Absolutely crazy. And so Will Campbell, as you mentioned, bona fide first-round pick, may go as high as top 10 in this draft. You know, Emory Jones, that's the interesting one, and I'm looking forward to talking to Zach about it. you know, we'll see what he eventually decides to do. I imagine he might probably go to the draft, but I'm not, that's just a guess at this point. I think it might be better for him to potentially come back and maybe improve his draft stock with a great senior year at LSU, but we'll see what he ultimately decides.
Yeah, I get 50, 60 calls every year. I never tell them, come out, stay. I'll give them where they're going to, I think they'll go, and then I'll make them, they let me know they'll make that decision. I think sometimes when they call me, it's almost like a gambler. They want to hear somebody else say the same thing that they're thinking. And I think a lot of it is they want to come out. I think there is a reality check for a lot of them that, you know, some lawyer or their uncle or mom and dad tells you're going to be a first-round pick. When they find out that's not the case, then there's a little bit of doubt. And a lot of times they change their minds. Where you tell them they're going to go, and they're also getting comments and projections from the NFL advisory board that gets passed along to them. It's just not them making up that. Now, again, at the end, it is just them. But they're getting a lot of help with this on where I think people believe that they'll go in the draft. And it's a personal decision. I've had some guys tell me, to be honest with you, my family needs the money. We need the money, and right. I got to come out. I don't care if I'm a fifth or sixth round pick. I need the money. And man, that kind of pulls at you a little bit, because I think some of them would maybe come back, but they know, you know, from their family standpoint that, you know, they need that cash now. I get that. I get that part of it. And then, too, today, lose Cade Phillips. Cade was a five-star recruit, one of the top corners in the country. Now, from Texas, this does not come as a shock. A lot of times, as it gets late, you got a little bit of pressure to stay in state and cash. Dead presidents printed on paper.
Man, Texas has got some of that, huh, Mike?
Yeah, they do. And so no surprise there. I think the other guy to watch would be Derek Meadows from Bishop Gorman High School in Nevada. He was an early commit to LSU.
And wide receiver.
Yeah. And now there's a lot of talk he may flip to Alabama.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too stunning there, Mike. We'll see what happens. Early signing day is tomorrow.
And we'll have full coverage of that on Sports Talk. And I think the intrigue for a lot of people, because most people know why the Louisiana guys are going, other than one, Jakeem Stewart. And he's the wild card in all of this. There has been no sort of hint of if he goes to Oregon, Ohio State, LSU. And he canceled those visits over the weekend to stay home. Interesting.
Just keep an eye on it. Oregon kind of threw their hat in the ring, and whenever you see that, it gets a
I know
little
what that's
scary.
About. Yeah. Phil Knight. How much
Mr. Nike,
yeah,
right.
How much you need to get that guy? Geez.
Yeah, so that's a little bit intimidating, but we'll see what happens there.
And so we'll see tomorrow if they can keep this class together. Already they've lost Bryce Underwood to Michigan.
Yep. Cade Phillips to Texas now.
Cade. Also Devin Harper, who played at Calvary Baptist. He was the number one rated offensive lineman in the state of Louisiana, and he flipped from LSU to Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. But he's as close to Jackson as he is to Baton Rouge, so to speak. So he signed that, well, has committed. Let's see if he continues with that. And also LeJesse Arold, who's from the Tampa area. He was a commit to LSU and then pulled the commitment back. Looks as though Florida State trying to make a late run to seal him. And LSU's after Solomon Thomas, one of the top offensive linemen in Florida, who's from, I think it's Raines High School in Jacksonville, trying to get him. He was an early Florida State commit. They're trying to get him to go to LSU. So there's a lot of checks that will be written tomorrow, Charlie.
Yeah, a lot of action, Mike. And real quick before we get to Coach Summerall, the moves with the transfer portal today as well that I mentioned in the flash. At first, C.J. Daniels entering the portal was a surprise to me. But then you realize, you know, the Liberty quarterback.
Well, I told you about that quarterback.
Kadon Salter, who, you know, he threw 1,000 yards to C.J. before C.J. transferred to LSU. And you talked and I used the bite for the flash there, Mike, about C.J. and how he didn't have the speed that he had at Liberty when he had that 1,000-yard season.
And that heel was giving him trouble. And in talking to some of the LSU coaches, he said, we don't know how he played.
Yeah, Coach Kelly talked about him, and, you know, it was – basically the media had thought that he was going to be returning. Like, Kelly said that he basically straight out said that they were expecting him to be back next year. But now he's entered the portal, and that came very shortly after, once again, the Liberty quarterback, Hayden Salter, entered the portal. So, like you mentioned in the flash, Mike, it's kind of probably going to be a package deal there. Both of those guys are going to end up at some spot. So C.J. Daniels entering the portal, Deshaun Womack as well, Jordan Allen, the DB. So a couple guys, you know, a couple names already hopping into the portal
and
for LSU.
Ricky Collins and Landon Abeda.
Yeah.
They had already been in the portal, but Deshaun had all kind of talent, Charlie.
The defensive end.
Man, could he run. But he played out of position a lot. He was sort of centered on getting up the field. And I even talked to Coach Jenkins about him. He said, Mike, he got all kind of talent. The problem is he's not real disciplined. He pulls himself out of position because he wants to hit the home run play and not understand you have a certain deal that you have to play, gap integrity, and teams would run right at him. As soon as he gets up the field, run right in his direction.
Right, but still, I mean, it's a raw talent, so wherever he ends up, coaching will have to be big for him. At the same time, it goes back to what you said at the very start, Mike. There's been a lot of news for LSU,
and
none of it's been good.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. It's our Tulane Tuesday segment, and the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Summerall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio, and we're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. It is Tulane Tuesday, and this segment with Coach John Summerall is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Before we start talking about what happened Thursday against Memphis and what you got coming up with in the conference championship game, man, I got told something today, and you learn something new every day. But I did not realize that you went to the same high school as the head football coach, the new one at Nicholls State, and Tommy Rybek, who takes over for Coach Rebo, and Coach had a really great run at Nicholls State. And Tommy mentioned that today, that you and him both went to Grissom High School.
Yeah, so proud of Tommy. And congrats to Tim Rebo. What a phenomenal career he's had, man. He's been fantastic football coach down here for so many years, and you know, created opportunities for so many people, and served and developed so many young people through our profession. But very happy for Tommy, man. He's he's a big family. He's got, you know, he's a freshman when I was a senior. He had an older brother that was my grade. He had two other brothers. He had a sister. His sister might have beat all of them's butt. She was the toughest one of all of them. Tommy was pretty tough too, but they had Mike, Joe, and John were the brothers, and they had a sister named Libby. And Libby, she probably had a chip on her shoulder bigger than any of them.
I told this to Coach Rebo. He said, "Mike, I know you retired from one profession before. How was it?" I said, "It sucks." And you, after about 2 months, hey, it's great to be home, and you know, with the grandkids and everything. But man, you get bored and fast. So I said, that's the little bit of advice for you, Tim. But I get why you walk, but I understand that. Coach, goes back to Thursday night. Some missed opportunities, three turnovers in the red zone. He couldn't stop the run, and I think that's really what stuck out to me. 48 rushes for Memphis, 236 yards. And if you'd have told me this before the game, they rushed for 236 and you rushed for 57, I could tell you who was going to win that game.
There ain't no doubt. Well, last Thursday night was a lot like you talked about retirement. It sucked. I mean, it wasn't very good. We didn't play good football, man. Our keys to victory each week are win the run game, win the explosive play battle and special teams, and win the turnover margin. Well, we get out rushed by a significant margin. We were minus three in the turnover margin. Well, I don't care who you are, you're not going to win that game. You know, you can't beat anybody until you don't beat yourself. And we, you know, hats off to the team that we played, but we kind of beat ourselves a little too. We didn't give ourselves any opportunities to play the game the right way. And, you know, it's unfortunate. But nobody's going to feel sorry for us. We ain't got no time to hang our head or mope around or whine or complain. We got to keep rolling. And, you know, I told our guys a couple of days after the game when we reconvened as a team, I said, guys, we're going to be playing one of nine FBS conference championships. And I said, that's a special opportunity. One of my seniors who's actually graduated, it was kind of funny. I told him, I said, hey, man, How about that? We're one of there's nine games going on, and we're one of the teams that gets to play in the nine games. And he said, yeah, coach, we're one of 20 teams. I said, hey, man, that ain't very good math. It's one of 18.
Close enough.
Yeah. And this is a dude that's got a two-lane degree already. Luckily, well, he's not a math major.
No, I hope I never bring my taxes to him if that's the case, coach. Yeah, no, we in bad shape.
Yeah, he ain't going to be doing no math anywhere, I don't think. But I'm getting at, though, man, we got a lot to be grateful for, a lot to be thankful for. If you had told me back in August we were going to be playing for a conference championship, I'd have said, where do I sign up?
Yeah, exactly. And I think back, I had some people ask me over the weekend, man, I never heard of this this Mario Anderson. I said, okay, you ain't watch a lot of college football. He was the leading rusher at South Carolina last year. He gets into the portal, and who Memphis beats out for him? Oklahoma and USC. That's pretty doggone good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alabama was in on him, too. He's a big-time player, man. He's as good of a back as we played all year. He's an NFL-type runner. And he looked like it against us. We didn't do ourselves a whole lot of favors playing him. But, yeah, he's a real guy now. They got a talented roster. I mean, they got a linebacker that they took from Tennessee that he was one of Tennessee's best linebackers. And so that group we played last week, they're a really quality team, man. They got a lot of great players.
Coach, I told you this last week. Speed never had a bad day.
No kidding.
And they didn't have one Thursday either.
No, it's hard to beat it, man. Size and speed, they travel.
So before we get to Army, Coach, I want to bring up a couple plays from the game because you mentioned the turnovers, and I think those were the biggest plays. When you look at how they happen, at the start of the obviously second half, Mensah completes that big bomb to Yulkeith Brown, but then a fumble. And then later on, you're down 7 at that point, down 10 later in the fourth quarter, Mensah completes another bomb to Mario Williams, fumble. And the Mario Williams one was a little bit interesting to me. I wanted to actually ask you before, you know, I get your thoughts on those two plays specifically. Was the call on the field that his knee was down before he fumbled and they state like they changed it, or was it the opposite? Because that was a little bit confusing while I was watching the broadcast. It looked like it was very much a 50-50 play, and so it seems like those are the types of plays you stay with the call on the field. But I thought that they called him down initially, and then they reversed it. I'm not exactly sure what happened there.
Yeah, that makes two of us. The call, originally we were told he was ruled down, and they were reviewing to see if it was a fumble. And then they came back a couple minutes later and said he was ruled a fumble and they were upholding it. I'm like, well, I thought we said he was down. And so I didn't quite get the hole there. That was a little bit confusing to me. You know, tough deal. But, you know, both those plays, when you get hit from behind sometimes, maybe where you're not expecting to get hit, that's usually when the ball is in jeopardy of being knocked out. And both those were critical. And but both guys are beat up over it, you know. Like they care a lot about their performance and, you know, helping the team win. And so it was tough that those plays happened. Like you said, the one with Yule, that happened. We're down a touchdown right out of third quarter early. You go score a touchdown there, and we're tied up. A little bit different feeling ball game, probably, you know. And so very unfortunate the way that. And then on that one, they returned the ball back to midfield.
Right.
And so held them to a field goal. And then, you know, we just couldn't quite get the momentum on our side to keep that thing going. But all in all, man, not our night. We got to be ready to move on.
Coach, you talk about a 180. You played Memphis Thursday. Now you play Army. Offensively, it looks a little different what Army does and what Memphis does best. And you have a little bit more time to prepare for Army, and you kind of know what you're going to get. But you don't see teams that use that scheme that often. Now, Navy has somewhat similar characteristics. I think they threw the football a little bit more this year because of Ryan Horvath. I think that's why they threw it more, to be honest with you. But it's a unique offense to go up against when you go up against Army.
Very unique. You know, they're back. We coached against them last 2 years at Troy. We played them in 22 and in 23. They're running more of the stuff they ran in 22, which is more of the under center three back option stuff. They ran some shotgun here and there in 22, and they're running some now, but they're really running more under center conventional triple. And last year they didn't run as much of it, but the quarterback is a different type player. You talked about the Horvath kid at Navy. he's a little bit, you know, thinner, more of a maybe receiver body type, if you will, that threw the ball well. This kid at Army, man, he's a freaking he's a tough physical dude. He's built like a linebacker. I mean, he's 220 pounds, probably 215 pounds, yoked up, rocked up looking dude, throws it good, but man, he is a battering ram of a runner. It's almost like having Mekhi Hughes back there running the ball that he throws it pretty good too, you know. And so a tremendous challenge with what they do schematically, but also who's doing it. They're really a good football team.
Coach, how is it? I mean, you're not even finished the season yet, and tomorrow's National Signing Day.
Oh, boy.
Well, who come up with that genius idea? I mean, boy, that was real sharp there. And so, man, as soon as that game's over with Thursday and you're trying to get ready for Army, now all of a sudden you got National Signing Day, and now the one in December is looked at as normally the big signing period for a team. And then, hell, a week away, then the transfer portal, it's already opened up, but then the transfer portal's there. Man, somebody, whoever did this schedule, they weren't too sharp about it.
Yeah, well, the coaches must have pissed them off. Because, like, right now, what we're doing, I'm trying to get ready for a conference championship game. We got signing day tomorrow. The portal's open next week. Like, we're just creating chaos, which is, you know, it makes it interesting. It makes it fun. It makes it wild and crazy. But, I mean, it's a lot going on, that's for sure. The staff, man, you don't stop. You don't have time to. And but it's all good. They don't ask our opinions when they make all the rules. We just play by them. So we got to adjust. We can either, you know, adapt or die, right?
All right. And, Coach, what would you expect from a number standpoint tomorrow? You know, give or take a few.
Yeah, I think I have to go back and look. I think we're at somewhere between 16 and 18, I believe, is the final number we're probably going to sign tomorrow. High school kids. We may at some point. There might be a few junior college kids, and then we'll have our transfers that come in here in a few weeks as well. So we're still going to sign north of 15 high school kids, sometimes 20, 25, depending on the year and the roster turnover.
Coach, hopping back to the American Athletic Conference Championship game against Army, 10-1 record, and we talked about their offense, but their defense. I want to get your thoughts on that. Obviously, when you're an Army team that can control the ball a lot, I remember I saw, like, there was one drive they had in a game where it was like 23 plays, 97 yards, yeah. 13 minutes off the clock. It's just, what do you even do at that point? That's so demoralizing to an opposing defense. So they obviously control the clock, and that's how they play, but their defense all season long, outside of that Notre Dame game where they gave up 49 to Notre Dame, who's obviously in the playoff conversation right now, allowing 11.7 points per game this season. They have just as many games given up less than 10 points as they do given double-digit points. So I want to get your thoughts on the Army defense as well and what you see from them.
Man, they're stingy. They do a great job. Nate Woody's their defensive coordinator. Him and our defensive coordinator, Greg Gasparato, worked together. Gas was the co-DC at Army for Woody back in 2020. Man, they play really sound, fundamental football. The kids play hard, man. I got a lot of respect for how they play. And the way they play offense is complementary to helping your defense a little bit, too. But it's a good football team, man. The way they play, they're really, really good.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I know you got a lot of balls you're juggling in the air right now. So we appreciate you coming over. And, man, best of luck to you. Bring back home that championship, brother.
Appreciate y'all. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, Coach. That was Coach John Summerall. His Two-Lane Tuesday is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. I've been asked this a number of times. I know we got a bunch of texts about it. Well, where would LSU go to get a quarterback now that Bryce Underwood looks to be that he is going to sign with Michigan tomorrow? The development is happening on the East Coast in North Carolina. Mack Brown got released last week, and they had a commitment from Bryce Baker. And depending on what site that you look at, I think he's either sixth or eighth. He's in the top 10 as far as prep quarterbacks are concerned. And he announced today that he is not going to sign for the signing period tomorrow, and it won't be until next week. And who he's considering now, with Mack Brown not there and they don't have a head coach yet, Penn State and LSU. So watch that development, what could happen with Bryce Baker. Bryce has said, along with his dad, that they have had some talks with LSU. So because of Mack Brown being released, Bryce Baker now, who was a top 10 quarterback in the country, is now looking to maybe leave North Carolina with that commitment to go somewhere else, and it looks as though Penn State and LSU now have honed in on him. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Ticks line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up? Hey, Charlie. So, okay, so you got the big UL football game, I think this Saturday in Lafayette against Marshall. Mike, I don't know if you heard this, but the head coach, he was kind of a Nick Saban disciple there, Charlie Huff, I think his name is, the Marshall head coach. From what I understand, yeah, no, Coach O is not going to Southern Miss. It's actually going to be Charlie Huff. Now, the interesting part, Charlie, is this, for all the UL fans listening, is basically the Marshall fans think that it's UL fans putting this information out there in hopes that it would kind of undermine their preparations for the game Saturday in Lafayette, the championship game for the Sun Belt. The reality is, from what I've heard, is it's going to happen. It's a done deal. The Marshall coach is going to Southern Miss, and it's not a conspiracy theory or anything created by the UL fans. This is what I'm hearing. Mike, I don't know if you heard that, but look, as far as LSU's concerned.
No, I haven't, to be honest with you. I knew Coach O wasn't going to do it, and I think it would take a special situation to get him out of retirement. I don't think he likes the landscape of college football today. Coach Saban didn't like it either. And so I think he's very comfortable in South Florida, out on the beach there.
Right? I like Coach Huff, though, Mike. I remember it was back in 2021, UL beat them in the New Orleans Bowl. This was before they obviously joined the Sun Belt Conference. I think they were still in Conference USA back then. Jimmy, it wasn't...
I think so.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
but, yeah, so UL beat them in the New Orleans Bowl that year, and then he came out afterwards, and he was a real class act about it, and you know, the comments that he made after the New Orleans Bowl. I really like Coach Huff, and he's done a good job with Marshall. They're 9-3 this year, 7-1 in the Sun Belt. Mike, they've got this dude, Mike Green, and I'm sure that he's on your radar. 16 sacks this season on the defensive line. Like, that's a legit NFL prospect that they got up front.
He knows how to sick them.
No, I mean, and UL's always been known for having a good offensive line, so that should be a really fun matchup.
You better put a hat on the hat.
Oh,
two hats
on that guy.
Well, let me say this. Number two, LSU basketball tonight, Florida State. I think it's in Baton Rouge at 8 o'clock. Big game against a good team. But, you know, Ty, look, ever since Trubisky came out in the NFL, Mike, and he was, what, a one-year starter at UNC or whatever it was. I was just like, you know, whenever I see a prospect who starts basically for a year, which, again, that's what I see Nussmeier as. I know he's been in the program. He started a bowl game. But I really hope he comes back. I don't think he's ready. But, I mean, he's got the big arm. I think that's going to be the determining factor in a lot for LSU next year. And just, Ty, let me ask you this, Mike, and close with this. How happy are the LSU fans with Brian Kelly right now? I know they're very impatient, but what do you think the status is with the fan base right now with Brian Kelly?
They ain't thrilled about it right now. But, you know, I look back at Garrett. He probably has the best guy to give him information, his dad, who was an offensive coordinator in college football. He's coaching with the Eagles today. Doug was with the Saints. I remember when he played here with New Orleans. And so, you know, being a former quarterback, I think one of the things he's going to lean on is his dad for the best information. If I'm Brian Kelly, would I try to sell him on? And I said this last week, too. Man, I tell him, man, look at Joe Burrow in year one as a starter. Look at him in year two. Look at Jaden Daniels year one. Look what happened in year two. Come back here and make that jump. And I wouldn't compare him to Trubisky. I think he's got a little bit more experience than Mitch did. He's not as erratic as a passer as Trubisky was. But I never thought, to be honest with you, that Garrett would come out early. It would surprise me. I really always have felt he would come back and play another season at LSU. And for a lot of what you talked about, experience and understanding that. But he's got a guy he can go to that will give him the best information, and that's his dad, a former NFL quarterback, a former college coordinator, coach in the NFL. He can give him the best of information that he would need to make that choice. And I think he'll make that choice pretty quickly, to be honest with you. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one on Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishes up hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. When we come back, we'll have on with us Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth. We'll talk NFL, Saints, and we'll have our triple option feature at 5:45 with myself along with Charlie, Steve Geller. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.